Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Second Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. Make proof, full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, I ask your anointing upon me as I bring the word today. Father, that I would deliver this message as you would have me to deliver it. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Paul is writing this to Timothy, we're reading these first verses here, and he's talking about all these things that will happen. And as we look around us, we see all these things happening that Paul was talking about here. A time that will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, someone that'll say what people want them to say, so it'll make them feel good.
Amen.
Some people have the opinion that when you go to church, you're supposed to always leave with the warm fuzzies. Well, sometimes leaving with the warm fuzzies isn't exactly getting you the right message either.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to leave in a little bit of shock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe a little bit perturbed. But when we're listening to the message of God, sometimes it's going to strike a chord in our heart and in our soul that's, you know, maybe going to bring some conviction sometimes. Because let's face it, we're all human beings. Not one of us here is perfect, and there are times that we all make mistakes.
Amen.
And God will convict us through the Holy Spirit of our mistakes if we will let Him. We can ignore it, we can go on. But He will convict us. So sometimes when we leave church, it's not going to be the warm fuzzies. Okay? But Paul is saying here that all of these things that he's talking about now, it's just about time for him to leave this life. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This week, and I guess before I say that, the title for my message might come in handy at this point. What's important in life? What is important in life? Different people have different ideas as to what's important in life. I remember I was undergoing or taking some training to do cable television production. And one of the things we had to do was to produce a brief segment. And I chose to do, what is life? What is the meaning here? As they always kind of joke about it, here we got five minutes, we got the entire meaning of life in 5 minutes. But a lot of people have different ideas as to what the meaning of life is and what's important in life. This week, here in Murray County, we lost two prominent citizens, Mayor Ray Williams of Spring Hill, Judge Jimmy Matthews of Columbia. As I was reading articles in the paper, in particular about Mayor Williams, one thing that stuck out in all the articles that they had to say about him was that he sometimes rubbed a few feathers the wrong way. And I may be kind of editorializing exactly what he said. They may have said it a little bit differently than that, but that was basically what it meant. There were occasions he didn't make some people happy. But he stood for what he believed in. And sometimes as Christians, when we stand for what we believe in, it's going to make some people unhappy. You know? I'm sorry to tell you, you can't be everybody's friend. There are some people that, they're just not going to like you simply because you're a Christian. And probably over your lifetime, you may have run into a few of these people. The biggest complaint they had about you was the fact that you were a Christian, and they just couldn't stand the fact that of your lifestyle and what you represented because it brought conviction to them. This week I emailed some of you a longevity calculator. How many got it? How many did it? How many liked your answer? I got one back from a friend of mine in Atlanta, and he says, I don't think I could stand to live with myself that long. Some people got some good scores. I don't know. Only one person mailed me back their score, and that was Stephen R. And he got a good score on his. Some of you, I don't know what you got. It's not important. Just something to think about, though. Because it gives you an idea of what you can do in your lifestyle that might help you live a little bit longer. So, but the Bible tells us, and let me point this out. Mine was, I did mine about four times. And I fed it different information all four times. And so I had a span of time there. Anywhere from 79 to 85 or 86, I think it was, depending upon how I answered the questions. But we're looking at this, and this is great. But I was thinking at the same time that Mayor Williams was 48 years old and he dropped over dead. You know, it didn't matter what his longevity calculator might have said. He was gone. Scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We all have to die, whether we want to or not. You know, and it's one of these things. How many of you want to go to heaven? Okay. That was not a trick question now. How many of you are in a hurry to get there? Only Cameron. And Cameron answers a positive to everything. That's the thing. We all want to go to heaven, but really, quite truthfully, none of us are really in a hurry to get there. You know? But unless the rapture takes place before our appointed time, it's going to happen to every one of us. Now, I firmly believe that there are people seated in this congregation this morning that will not have to go by way of death. I believe that they're going to hear the trumpet sound, and they're going to watch maybe those that went on before rise up first. And as I told a friend of mine once, it was going to be the Australians, because he always told me they were going up first. And I said, yes, because it says the dead in Christ will rise first. But there are some of us here that are going to be witness to that. So one way or another, some of us are going to be the ones coming up out of the grave, and some of us are going to be the alive and remain, and we're going to go up too. But what is important in life? Is riches important in life? Or wealth? There are 95 verses in the Bible that talk about riches, and 27 that use the word wealth. Proverbs 18:11 says, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit." Now, we all need money. How many of you found that you can go down to Walmart and pick a package up off the shelf and walk up to the cashier and say hi, scan it, and walk on out the door without paying for it? It doesn't work, does it? I mean, you might walk out the door, but you probably won't get too far. You know, you got to have money. Proverbs 19:4 says, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." Now we read the prodigal of the story of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, and we find out that as his father had given him this inheritance, and he went out and he had a lot of friends, from what the scripture indicates. I mean, he was party time. He was living it up. I mean, let's face it. People will be your friends if you've got money. You know? I can imagine some of these people that win like the lottery or something like that, you know. Imagine how many friends crop up that they never had before. How many relatives crop up that they never knew they had. You know? We read the story of this young man, though, and we find out one day his money ran out. And what happened? His friends ran out too. And it boils down to the fact he finally ends himself up in a pig pen having to feed the hogs, and he's got to eat what they got to eat. Just about. In fact, he's looking at that and said, "Man, that looks pretty good." You know? So wealth is not the most important thing. True, we have to have money. But some people, that becomes their driving force to gain wealth. Oh, if I could just be wealthy. If I could just be another Donald Trump. If I could just be another Howard Hughes. If I could just be another Bill Gates. Have that wealth that they've got. Anybody here? Now, some of you are probably too young. Like Cameron. How many of you here, and let's please be honest with me now, how many of you here ever watched the program Dallas? Okay. How many of you here ever watched the program Dynasty? Okay. It was about wealthy people, wasn't it? I felt sorry for those poor people because they had so much problems and so much trouble. I mean, they had all this money, but they had nothing but trouble. And you look around sometimes and you read stories in the paper about these people who have great wealth and yet they have great problems. Because wealth is not the most important thing in life. Sure, it's good to have some dollars in the bank account because we do have to pay bills. But wealth is not the most important thing in life. Fame. Anybody here want to be famous? Oh, yeah, we've got a few hands. I knew Cameron wants to be famous. Yeah. Fame. There's nothing wrong with being famous because it says in Luke 4:14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him all throughout the region about, round about." The problem is with fame, it can also bring some problems. And we read of people who are famous, how they're stalked by stalkers and all this other thing can happen. Now, I have to say, we do have a famous person in our midst today. We have a famous columnist in our midst today, Steve Rowland. You know, I mean, he writes for the Daily Herald. I mean, you know, it makes him famous. No. Fame. Fame is in different areas, different ways. Now, you can be famous in your own community and the people outside your community not know who you are. You know. But fame is not the most important thing in life. If it was the most important thing in life, quite honestly, most of us would be in trouble then. You know? We don't have fans or groupies because we're not famous. Our job. Some people look at their job and they think, oh man, this is the most important thing in the world today. And they work. I read stories of people who work 18 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, because their job is their driving force. They have no time for anything else but their job. And typically they have a lot of problems that go with it because they can't have a stable family life. They can't have a lot of other things because it's just their job. And many of these people find themselves crunching that timeline on that longevity factor way down because the stress of their job that they're put under. Their job. Is the job that important? How many of you love your job? We got two people raised their hands and one did of this. I didn't see you raise your hand, brother. One of the things that seems to go along with the job is the fact that part of the deal with having a job is the rights to complain about it, you know? And we talk about it, and this, that, and the other. I told somebody at my job the other day, I'm more convinced than ever that I need to go buy a cave in Montana because the world is doomed. Stupidity runs rampant, you know? And what really amazes me is when those stupid people, some of them are doctors and lawyers, and I think, oh man, they can't, you know. But our job, is it the most important thing to us? Do we eat and sleep our job? There are some people who do. But it's not the most important thing in life. Our friends. There are 48 verses that talk about friends. And Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Just one particular verse. So the Bible talks about having friends. And having friends is a good thing. How many of you like to have friends? How many of you don't want any friends?
I thought I had a friend.
You thought you had one? Until he pilfered your card, huh? Yeah, friends. But yet we're told that basically most people are very fortunate if they can count their true friends on one hand. When it boils down to true friends. We use the term friends sometimes kind of loosely, when most of the time it probably should really refer to acquaintances. I have a habit, I never say that I have an acquaintance, I say I have a friend. I may hardly know the person, but I will say it that way. When it comes down to those people that you can depend upon, that if you're in trouble, will be the one that will come and bail you out, whether it actually be bailing you out or coming to the roadside somewhere to help you with a broken down car. You can count those typically on about one hand. Those people you can really, truly depend upon. Now I realize that sometimes within the church family it's a little bit better odds than that. But in life, that's just about the way it is. Our friends are important. It's good to have friends. Sometimes it's good to have someone that you just go and blow off steam to and they'll listen to you, and after you've done that, you feel better and you walk away, you know. You ever have to do that? Yeah. Yeah. It helps to be able to do that once in a while. But are our friends the most important thing in life? No. Because there may be some times that the friends that we had aren't going to be our friends anymore. Especially depending upon the lifestyle that we were living. Because I remember a lady I worked with years ago, and she had a friend that was a good friend, and they went places together, they went partying together, they were into country western music, and they went to the country western clubs and all this stuff, and they always were talking about what a good friend that she had, you know. But one day something changed. Her good friend went to church and got saved. And she didn't want to go do some of this stuff anymore. And now she says, I don't have a friend anymore. You know, because they no longer wanted to do the same things. So friends are not the most important thing in life. There are things that are more important than friends. Because sometimes friends will turn on us. Especially if we're trying to live for God and they're not. So friends are not necessarily the most important thing in life. It's good to have friends, and it is important. How about our family? How many of you love your family? How many of you can't stand your family? We had two hands go up. Oh. How many of you would raise your hand to anything I said? Yeah. Family's important. And sometimes I think, you know, as we get older, maybe we tend to realize how much more important that it is. And I stop to think about it every once in a while, because I grew up basically, I almost say I feel like I grew up an orphan, because I had a sister and we had lots of cousins and aunts and uncles, but I never knew them. And to this day, any one of them can walk in off the street and I probably wouldn't recognize them. But family's important, and the Bible talks about family. Family goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. It's important in our lives. It's an important part of us. And you'll find that there are people that will stick up for their family when they won't stick up for anything else, because family's important. You know, you can have a couple of brothers or a brother and a sister or whatever, you know, and they can be at it constantly. Fight, fight, fight. Almost come to fisticuffs sometimes, you know. Anybody ever have that happen? Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you let somebody else pick on that person. I mean, you may have been beating the tar out of them one day, even though it was your brother or your sister. And the next day somebody else wants to do it. And what do? You go out and you take up for them. You, hey, I can do that, but not you. Don't you mess with my family. You know, because family's important. All of these things can be important in their own way, some of them more so than others. Not one of the things we talked about is a sin. It's not a sin to be wealthy. It's not a sin to be famous. It's not a sin to have a good job. It's not a sin to have friends. Sometimes we can make these things into a sin by the way that we use them and what we do with them. We can even make our family into a sin, because we put our family before the things of God sometimes. The most important thing in life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing in life. I wanted to read to you this morning, and I'm going to read to you from the Jewish New Testament, the translation there from Romans 5, 6 through 11. Romans 5, 6 through 11. And it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, the Messiah died on behalf of ungodly people. Now it is a rare event when someone gives up his life, even for the sake of somebody righteous. although possibly for a truly good person one might have the courage to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. Therefore, since we have now come to be considered righteous by means of His bloody sacrificial death, how much more will we be delivered through Him from the anger of God's judgment? For if we were reconciled with God through His Son's death when we were enemies, how much more will we be delivered by His life now that we are reconciled? And not only will we be delivered in the future, but we are boasting about God right now because He has acted through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, through whom we have already received the reconciliation. We have received through Jesus Christ the most important thing in life. And that's the sacrifice for our sin. The atonement. In Hebrew, the word is kafar, which means to expiate or condone, to placate or cancel, appease, make an atonement, cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, purge, put off, reconcile. We have received reconciliation from our sins through Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin. And I don't care how good a person you are. The Bible tells us we were born in sin, that we were conceived in iniquity. And there are people out there that are living truly good lives. But unless they have Jesus Christ in their heart, unless they've asked for that forgiveness of sin, they're on their way to hell. And that offends some people today. How many of you here might remember back to the days of what they call the fire and brimstone preachers, you know? I mean, you went to church and you left there and you almost felt the scorch marks, you know? It might have been cold when you walked in, but man, you were burning up when you went out because it got so hot. You felt those flames. And today it's offensive in many churches to even mention that there's a hell. If there is no hell, if there is none of these things, then why did Jesus die on the cross for our sin? Amen. There had to be a reason. And He gave Himself. Now I know there are people who have argued back and forth. Well, the Jews killed Jesus. And some, oh no, it wasn't the Jews, it was the Romans that nailed Him to the tree. The Bible tells us that nobody killed Him. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. Romans didn't kill Jesus. Judas didn't kill Jesus. It says He freely gave His life on Calvary's tree that we could have that atonement for our sins. He gave His life. No one took it. Because at any point there, I mean up to the moment just before He said, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit, He could have gotten off that tree. He could have come down from that cross and said, I've had enough. I'm not going to go through with this. He could have done whatever He well pleased. But He gave Himself a sacrifice for our sins. And the most important thing in life to us is that we accept that atonement, that reconciliation for our sin, and that we have Jesus Christ abiding in our heart. Amen. That is the most important thing in life. Then these other things kind of come down the line. And there are very important things that we talked about this morning. But that is the most important thing in life, is that relationship with Jesus Christ. Most important thing in life is not religion. We hear people talk about, well, they're a religious person. Hey, there are a lot of religious people out there that are lost. There are a lot of religious people out there that pray to a rock. I'm talking about like a stone, you know. In fact, just this past week, there was a meteorite fell in some country in the Far East. and I think it was about 10 pounds in weight, and they went out there, and they had to take the thing because they said some of the villagers wanted to start praying to it and worshiping it. They were religious people, but they're lost. No, it's not religion. And sometimes we get hung up on that, is that religion thing. It's relationship. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ that we have in our life. And that makes all the difference in the world. And yes, sometimes that relationship with Jesus Christ is going to offend. That's just the way it is. Because there will always be those who are offended by the gospel. There will always be those that are offended by the things of God. I'm sorry, Michael Newdow. And we talked about, for those of you that visiting today or with us for the first time today, Reverend Dr. Michael Newdow, you're familiar with him that filed the suit to get Pledge of Allegiance taken out of schools. He tried to get prayer stopped at the inauguration last week. He tried all these things, and we talked about it. It's kind of funny that he is Reverend Dr. Michael Newdow. I'm sorry, Mr. Newdow, but Jesus is alive. And if that offends you, tough.
Amen.
You know, tough. Because I'll tell you, one of these days, I'm going to be standing there at heaven's door, and one of these days, you're going to be standing before judgment. Oh yeah, I'm going to be standing before a judgment as a Christian. I'm going to be standing there, and it tells us that we're going to be judged for what we've done, and all this. We're going to receive our rewards. It's a judgment of rewards. But some are going to be standing there, and that judgment is going to be, I'm sorry, I never knew you. I don't care what title you have. I don't care what you did in life. I don't care if you were famous. I don't care if you were wealthy. I don't care if you loved your family. I don't care about any of these things. I never knew you, because your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the most important thing in life. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you today for your blessing. I thank you for your anointing. And Father, I pray today that as we leave this place, Father, that your blessing will be upon us, Father. As we go forth knowing that having you in our heart is the most important thing we can possibly have in life. And Father, all of these other things come secondary to our relationship with you. And Father, as we have that relationship, Father, it in turn many times, if we will allow it, will build on some of these other things as well. I just ask your blessing upon each one that is here today. Again, Father, for those that are undergoing stress in their life today because of situations and family, I pray, Father, that you'd be with them right now. Bring healing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And today, if you've listened to this message and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to invite him into your heart and life today. It's the most important decision that you will ever make in your lifetime. And it's so easy. Just believe with all your heart and say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And I believe that you love me. And today, I ask you, I invite you to come into my heart and my life, that I can dwell with you for all eternity. I thank you today, Jesus, for coming into my heart and into my life. I praise you for it. Now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior today, would you just let us know? The announcer's going to give the address in just a moment. Let us know. We're not going to send you requests for money. We're not going to do anything like that. We just want to rejoice with you. If you just let us know if you accepted Jesus into your heart and life today, please do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.